countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Get Irish Country Living, your magazine for rural Ireland, every week inside the Irish Farmers Journal.
Now, last night, the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell Logue, launched the Oliver Goldsmith Literary Festival, which runs virtually this weekend, and the theme is the future of agriculture. The focus is on the three important pillars of farm sustainability. They are the environment, social and economic, with speakers focusing on these areas, and it opened with a discussion on environmental sustainability last night. It continues over the weekend. One of the speakers tomorrow is Dr. Monica Gorman from UCD, and I'm delighted to say she's here with me. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, Damien.
And you're welcome to the programme. Now, your talk is focused on women in agriculture. Given the festival is looking at the future of ag, what is the future for women in agriculture?
OK, well, I suppose the whole question tomorrow is around social sustainability.
Yeah.
And, you know, what does that look like? And social sustainability has to be where, you know, you have people wanting to live on farms in rural areas, where farm families are dynamic, where there's energy, there's creativity, and, you know, where people get a good sense of meaning out of life. So, you know, if we look at the journey that agriculture has been on in this country, mm-hmm. and I've had a passion for the whole issue of women in agriculture since I was a teenager growing up on a family farm. And, you know, for so long, the work that women do on farms has been invisible.
Undervalued.
Undervalued and I would say invisible in terms of, you know, so often you'll hear people refer to farmers as masculine. They're he,
yeah, yeah.
He and him comes out all the time. And, you know, so a lot of the work that women do is invisible. A lot of the supports, you know, even if you look at, you know, farm ownership, if you look at, you know, where does CAP money go? You know, women are certainly not at the table for a lot of the big decisions in farming.
Like, I was down with the Donoghues there in Croom in Limerick, and the two daughters and the two sons are all drawing the silage. It's a real family business in that regard. But I think the ownership of farms in Ireland by women is still at around 12%. Is that very low globally by European standards?
It's very low. We're one of the lowest in Europe, and yet at the same time, you know, about 25% of the people working on farms are women. But it has stubbornly refused to shift, you know, over the last number of years. So, you know, there are issues there. Land ownership in this country is, it's an emotive issue. People's attachment to place, people's attachment to a name on a farm, you know, all of those issues can I suppose, act as barriers. But I think, you know, the bigger thing is around the visibility and the role and the respect for women, the work that women do on farms.
Yeah, and on that, is there evidence to show that women involved in frontline farming, if we can call it like that, that they actually do bring fresh thinking and creativity to the binary functionality of a typical small Irish farm?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just listening to Jim Power talking about people wanting to get back into the office because it's in social interaction that you have innovation. And, you know, two heads are better than one. Farming, particularly for, you know, a farmer farming on their own, it can be a lonely occupation. If you look at some of the most productive farms in this country, they're usually ones where there's a very strong relationship between, say, a husband and wife, but also the intergenerational relationship is good. So, you know, you don't have that sense of isolation if you've got good relationships and lots of different perspectives coming into it, whether that's a husband and wife, whether it's sons and daughters, whether it's brothers and sisters, you know, that they're bringing their energy. And people will do a lot for a family business because, you know, it's more than just a business.
Sure. But what about the old tradition of the eldest son getting the farm? You talked there about succession and land ownership. Is that day long gone?
It's not.
Right.
It's not long gone. I think maybe people don't necessarily think of it as the eldest son, but I think the conversations in families about who's interested, a lot of things are assumed rather than talked about.
Well, I'm just wondering, are women being blocked from getting into farming? Is the route to owning the farm a lot tougher? Or is it just that they're making a lifestyle choice that they don't want to farm, or is it a combination of both?
Well, very often they know from an early age that they're not likely to, you know, so they have internalised it at a young age.
That they're not likely to get the farm.
That they're not likely to get the farm. And that they need to maybe look at, you know, the most common route for women into farming is through marriage. Now, that's not necessarily, you know, it would be wonderful to see families thinking more creatively around the interest that the children have in the farm and who
now,
might be the best
is
person.
That a bit of an issue still as well, where we'll say, when you talk about, you know, a son maybe that's going to take over a farm and getting married, that the sometimes older parents are a little bit sceptical about, you know, well, the woman is going to come in here. This farm has been in our family for generations. She's going to have access to half it. Is that mindset still around?
I think it still exists, but I think progressively people realise that they, you know, getting in the way of the next generation getting started and setting up a family is not good for the long term.
Yeah.
You know, families want, most farm families would like to see that there's going to be a future and somebody can have a livelihood. The next, there will be a next generation on that farm. Now, you know, sometimes they're thinking of it as, well, it'll only be a part-time farm. Whereas I think, you know, if we could let go of that and start to think that, you know, if the farm is an asset, there's lots of different ways in which it can be used to create a livelihood. It doesn't just have to be in cattle or in sheep or in dairy or in tillage.
You're lecturing across the road here in UCD. Are you noticing more young women doing ag courses?
Absolutely. We have, you know, over the whole, all of the ag courses, it's around 50-50. Now, there's some courses where it's stubbornly one way or the other. Dairy business is predominantly male. And I think that's really interesting because if you went back 100 years ago, dairy was women's business.
Right.
And there's a very interesting study by Joanna Burke. It was written in the, was it the 1990s. It's in the Agricultural History Review, where she talks about between 1890 and the end of the First World War, women were literally moved out of dairy. Even the courses that the Albert College used to put on for women in dairy were gone.
And that's flipped completely, is what you say. So with 50-50 doing the range of agri and food science courses in the likes of UCD, if women are not going back to the family farm or going farming, they're certainly going into the business of farming, which is good to see.
They are. And there's been some great, I suppose, initiatives over the last couple of years. I mean, Borbia with the AgDiff Forum and really helping you know, how do agri-food companies start to get the diversity and inclusion journey underway? You know, that's been really, really positive. But there's also been, I think there's a lot of other positive things going on. There's a group that I've got to know, or I'm getting to know at the moment, called Dairy La Caila. And they're a group of what we call the non-farming partners on dairy farms. And they're women who are looking at their role on the farm, and Paddy Kelly and Lynair Ryan are facilitating them in a discussion group. And I just think that's a brilliant initiative where creative responses, they're coming together, they're looking at what their role is.
Well, it is an interesting subject. You are on the stage tomorrow virtually. And I think anybody that is involved in farming and wants to know about succession and the future farming, they could do no worse than go on to olivergoldsmithfestival.com. And you can find details there about how you can log on. The session today begins at 12 noon. And you're on, as I said, tomorrow as well. And it's a great festival and a great lineup of speakers. And we talk about women in ag, the EU commissioner that we have did ag science across the road there as well. And look at where it got her, of course, Mairead McGuinness. So Dr. Monica Gorman of UCD, thank you so much. I'll let you now off to tend your bees down in County Wicklow. So may you have a bountiful summer in that regard. Thank you very much. Well, it's hard to imagine the excitement in the tiny village of Cong in County Mayo 70 years ago this